every threat is taken seriously. This is like the third or fourth since 2013.
Guam's governor speaks with VOA about North Korea's missile threat. It's Friday, August 11th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Be sure to visit us as well on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, we hear reaction to Pyongyang's latest threat. South Korea has its defense strategy. A South Asia transgender activist shares a personal story. Swimming robots to clean pollution. A family that survived a nuclear attack. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump stiffened his resolve against North Korea Thursday, saying that if Pyongyang initiates warfare, quote, things will happen to them like they never thought possible. He made two public statements Thursday, this one after meeting with his security advisors.
Let's see what he does with Guam. He does something in Guam, it will be an event the likes of which nobody's seen before, what will happen in North Korea. He's not going to go around threatening Guam, and he's not going to threaten the United States, and he's not going to threaten Japan, and he's not going to threaten South Korea. No, that's not a dare, as you say. That is a statement of fact.
Trump spoke hours after North Korea said it is finalizing a plan to launch a salvo of four ballistic missiles to the waters off the shores of the U.S. territory of Guam, Pyongyang's latest provocation in the war of words between it and Washington. In an unusually detailed announcement, North Korea's military said that within a week, it would hand the regime's leader, Kim Jong-un, a plan to fire the Hwasong-12 missiles over Japan toward Guam, 3,300 kilometers to the south. State media said the missiles would land 30 to 40 kilometers off the shores of Guam, where 163,000 people live, and the United States has 7,000 military personnel at a naval installation and an airbase. The commander of the North Strategic Rocket Forces says after the plan is given to Kim, the military would, quote, wait for his order. Should North Korea carry out the launch, the U.S. military could attempt to shoot down the missiles. It has six Aegis ballistic missiles in the region. But if Pyongyang were to launch the four missiles simultaneously, it could make it harder to shoot down all of them. So what does Guam have to say about the latest provocations? International Edition's Philip Alexio spoke with the governor of Guam, Eddie Baza Calvo, who says the island is not panicking and it's ready for anything.
This island and its people have gone through war, we believe it is a horror. But then at the same time, it's important, and I think that's been very important for our administration since 2013, to separate what the rhetoric that is occurring, and a lot of it through the media, and through folks that are in positions of power, but get to the details of really what are the facts on the ground. What is the situation in regards to increasing of military movements in North Korea, as well as what is occurring on the ground in Guam. And I can tell you, after being briefed many times since 2013, as we have, as the civil government, worked more closely in coordination with the United States military, is that there is, I would say, a very strong, formal, organized system in place for any type of ramp-up in terms of some sort of action, and as well as the defensive umbrella that is a part of the United States and its allies system in this part of the world. And I talk about defense assets in Korea and Japan, defense assets in the Western Pacific, and the defense assets that we have also in Guam. So I feel very confident that our people are protected. And at the same time, we're hopeful that things will de-escalate. And we're also hoping that our leadership in Washington can work with our allies in Japan and South Korea and bring in those vested interests, such as China. It's to China's best interest that this thing calms down. Because, the direction that the North Korean leader is moving towards, there obviously is not the right direction. And aside from the United States, I think Japan and South Korea will also, if he continues this way, move in a direction that we believe is important for their safety and security as well.
Governor, what are your thoughts about the way the president has responded to North Korea?
as an American governor in Ground Zero and a Chamorro Guamanian that's lived his life here in Guam, if Guam or Honolulu or Los Angeles is threatened with an attack, it is my hope that a U.S. president will be very clear in his message to potential adversaries that it will be met with overwhelming force. And whether it's hell or fury or brimstone. So that is not my, you know, my concern.
The governor of Guam, Eddie Bazzacalvo, speaking with VOA's Phil Alexio. The story is changing hourly. Visit us often at VOA Asia Facebook and the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. North Korea finalizing test missile launches aimed toward Guam. Sri Lanka foreign minister resigns over alleged scandal. Suspected World War II bomb found near Fukushima reactor. Critic of Cambodian leader jailed for defamation. 91-year-old Thai woman earns bachelor's degree. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The United States says its pressure on North Korea to get its leadership to abandon its nuclear arms program is backed by other nations. The verbal confrontation between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un this week has raised concerns about a possible military confrontation that could destabilize the Korean Peninsula. We hear more from VOA's Latika Hoke.
The U.S. State Department on Wednesday defended Trump's pledge that the U.S. will respond with fire and fury to North Korea's threat it could strike the U.S. island territory of Guam. Guam is home to two strategic U.S. military bases.
Let's consider what is alarming. What is alarming, two ICBM tests in less than a month, two nuclear tests that took place last year. As a matter of fact, when there's an earthquake in China, I get many emails and calls from all of you asking, was it another nuclear test? That is how big of a deal this is, at what is going on.
The State Department spokesperson said North Korea's nuclear arms are a threat to the international community, not just the United States. The French government on Wednesday praised Trump's firm response to the North Korean threat to the U.S. territory, but also urged a peaceful solution.
France is ready to put its good offices at their disposal so that we can find a peaceful solution because the risk exists. And the determination of the American president, as it was voiced last night, is the same determination as any American president would have, because they cannot accept that part of their territory could be the target of ballistic missile attacks.
Japan said it had conducted joint air drills with its jet fighters and U.S. supersonic bombers in Japanese skies close to the Korean Peninsula on Tuesday. The saber rattling has sparked some concern among South Koreans.
Someone who's just about to join the national service, as someone who's actually got a real possibility of having to serve and contribute to this ongoing issue, yes, it is scary.
My boyfriend is in the military protecting this nation as a soldier, so I feel more worried because someone close to me is involved. And as a citizen, watching such news just makes me more nervous.
Russia has called for a diplomatic solution to ease the tensions. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, on his way to Guam, said the North Korean leader does not seem to understand the language of diplomacy. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, a U.S. Navy destroyer carried out an operation near the Chinese man-made islands in the South China Sea, an effort to challenge China's territorial claims in the heavily trafficked international waters. Several warnings came from a Chinese frigate. The U.S. ship responded it was conducting a legal operation in international waters. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're always glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us today. South Korean President Moon Jae-in has reacted with quiet restraint to increasing talk of conflict over the rapidly advancing North Korean nuclear threat, and in particular over U.S. President Donald Trump's remarks threatening an overwhelming military response. The North Korean People's Army plan to fire missiles at the U.S. territory of Guam is different than past threats against the United States in that it outlines a very specific missile test operation. Military leaders in Seoul condemned North Korea's recent threats as, quote, thoughtless words, and emphasized South Korea's willingness to act in response to an attack on its U.S. ally. However, President Moon did not make any public comments on this matter, and he did not attend the Thursday meeting of his National Security Council. The liberal South Korean leader took office in May with expectations to reduce tensions on the Korean Peninsula through increased diplomacy. But his ability to offer economic incentives, like reopening the Kaesong Industrial Complex, have been impeded by international sanctions, and his calls for dialogue with Pyongyang have been rejected. You're listening to VOA Asia.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Fed up with what he calls Trump administration inaction on Afghanistan, senior Republican Senator John McCain has unveiled his own strategy for fighting the war. McCain, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said he'll seek a vote on his, quote, strategy for success when the Senate returns in September. Stay up to date with VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, last month, President Donald Trump tweeted that transgender persons are not welcome in the U.S. military. Members of this small but increasingly vocal community have since been grappling with a potential backslide of their rights while still serving in uniform. The president's declaration also brought the roles transgender people play in key social sectors back to the fore. VOA Asia's Ali Ogden spoke a short time ago on Facebook Live with Sal Salam, who is the founder of Tricon in Chicago, one of the oldest LGBTQ support groups for South Asians. Salam tells us about his gender identification journey and the ways that local transgender community is coping with the latest political fallout and also his time living in Bangladesh.
I moved to Bangladesh in 2004 when I was about 15. And the thing is, even though, homosexuality or, quote-unquote, unnatural sex acts are criminalized under the Constitution, because Bangladesh is a democracy, oftentimes, a struggling one, there is more freedom to of speech and expression, and there is more of a sense that while, technically, homosexuality or queer people are considered, sort of outlawed by law, there is more freedom to live one's life and there is less persecution. But at the same time, that has been changing. There has been a rise in Islamist radical Islamist terrorism and terrorist acts. Recently, there were two LGBTQ bloggers and activists who lived in Bangladesh who were hacked down by people who identified as radical Islamist terrorists.
So, how do you identify now?
Well, I identify as a queer trans femme. So those are the words I usually use, a queer non-binary trans femme. Those are words I usually use to identify in terms of my sexuality and gender identity, respectively.
One of the reasons we're here, of course, is a tweet that came out recently from President Trump. And I just want to read that for our audience here for a second. A couple of weeks ago, the president tweeted, "After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction to this, you know, I was at work when this tweet came out. I was horrified. I was shocked, but I was also not surprised. The tone of this tweet and the content of the tweet is in keeping with and of a piece with the general tone that this administration has taken towards marginalized groups and minorities of any sort in this country, whether they be immigrants, whether they be trans people, whether they be brown and black people, whether they be women. It is of a keeping with that. I was shocked and horrified because this dehumanizes our trans siblings, the trans community in this country that serves in the army and in the military and has served in the military with honor and courage.
Let's talk a little bit more about your organization, Tricone Chicago, and what you all do.
Tricone Chicago has existed since 2008 in its current iteration. It's an organization that is not-for-profit. It's a community-based organization, and it's completely volunteer-run. It basically serves to affirm and support queer and trans people of South Asian origin, or we use the word Desi, of Desi origin or heritage, or members of the South Asian diaspora here in the Chicagoland area, and their friends, their families, their allies. We're completely inclusive and open to everyone who wants to be in our spaces. So what we do is we try to create safer social spaces where, the intersection of one's South Asian heritage and one's sexual and/or gender identities can be celebrated and be seen.
Sal Salem is the founder of Tricone Chicago. His full conversation with VOA Asia's Ali Ogden may be seen on VOA Asia Facebook. Developing at this hour in Asia, Pakistan's former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif is attempting to flex his political influence just days after the country's highest court disqualified him from holding office for concealing assets. Sharif addressed activists of his ruling Pakistan Muslim League as he kicked off 2 days of rallies. VOA Asia Facebook keeps you informed and has great features to share. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, according to the Pacific Institute, over 2 million tons of all kinds of waste are poured into the world's waters every day. Scientists have gotten good at detecting it, but not so good at finding where it's coming from. VOA's Kevin Enix reports Swiss researchers are working on a solution to that problem. It's a swimming robot that can control waterways 24/7 and locate pollution at its source.
This is the EnviroBot. Swiss researchers are taking it on a test drive in an alpine lake. It looks like a water snake, but it's actually a collection of little segments, all doing different jobs.
So the robot has many, many different modules, plus the head. So each modules are identical, and they have a motor so that the joint can oscillate. Then there is the head, which coordinates all the movements of these different modules. So you can have a pattern which propels the whole robot forward.
Its job, when fully developed, will be to patrol waterways on its own, looking for pollution.
So instead of having a measurement station somewhere, or instead of going out and taking a sample and bringing it back to the lab, the robot will actually go out and measure a number of water quality parameters in real time.
Each snaky segment or module is unique, so the EnviroBot can conduct all kinds of different water tests at the same time.
Like, we have a module here that measures very general water quality parameters, temperature, conductivity, for example. We also have one for pH and for oxygen levels. Those are very general parameters that say water quality is good or not.
Other modules carry bacteria, fish cells, even tiny water fleas that react to toxins in the water. The researchers' ultimate goal is to create a full-time, autonomous, pollution-sniffing robot.
What we also like to achieve is that the robot by itself can find the source of a pollution. And in that way, it would have to be able to measure locally and then decide where to go next. And that is obviously a very challenging project.
Challenging indeed. But given the amount of waste that is being dumped or pumped into the world's waterways, a very worthy goal. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
The world this week marked 72 years since atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan in 1945. As VOA Asia's David Byrd tells us, the new animated film, In This Corner of the World, looks at the life of a family during the war years and after the bombing of Hiroshima.
In This Corner of the World is based on a manga by Japanese author Fumio Kono, and it tells the story of Suzu, a young woman who loves to paint and draw and helps her grandmother's business by selling nori, or dried seaweed. In 1944, Suzu's parents tell her that a young naval officer named Shusaku has proposed marriage to her. Shusaku lives in Kure, a large naval port about 10 kilometers from Hiroshima. As Suzu adjusts to her new life, the deprivations of war and attacks by Allied bombers upend everything she has known. Eventually, she suffers several devastating losses, but finds a way to survive, even when the atomic bomb is dropped on Hiroshima. The film is directed by Suneo Katabuchi. Speaking through an interpreter, he said that he wanted to tell this story because the wartime years are often not talked about, and the war veteran generation is dying off.
I started interpreting those few years during the war as this kind of this otherworldly time that took place. However, I felt that there were people just like us today living during that time, and I wanted to take a peek into that world and try to experience it. And what would I see in that world? That was the curiosity.
The film uses hand-drawn and colored animation to tell the story with no computer-generated effects. Katabuchi says that he did that for two reasons, because it was based on a manga and because hand-drawing offers subtlety and warmth.
Yeah, I chose that method specifically because Fumio Kono was the manga artist who created the original story. And she has a very unique touch, and it's very warm. So I wanted to maintain that warmth even in the anime. Yeah, so it's a little bit, this anime is also a little bit different from all the other anime you might see coming from Japan right now. And even the coloring as well, but also the movement of the characters, that's also a little bit different from what you may see.
Katabuchi and his team had to do extensive research to get accurate depictions of pre-war Hiroshima. Most of the records and photographs were destroyed in the bombing, but the director says through an interpreter that some of the survivors provided crucial details.
So with all the research and gathering all these experiences and stories, we were able to literally recreate what the stores and storefronts look like along that street. And not only that, literally every house in the town we were able to recreate.
The film was first proposed in 2012 and began crowdfunding 2 years ago. The fundraising effort was an overwhelming success, raising more than 39 million yen from more than 3,300 contributors. Another 10 million yen was raised in just 11 hours to send Katabuchi overseas to promote the movie. In This Corner of the World does not address the thornier issues of the war years, particularly military atrocities in China, Korea, and the Philippines. Some might find its treatment too sympathetic to the Japanese military. But director Suneo Katabuchi says that he hopes that people will realize the commonality of human experience in the midst of war. In This Corner of the World is set for worldwide release August 11th. In Washington, I'm David Byrd.
We say a big hello to everyone listening in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, at Helps Radio at Help University there, and also a shout out to the Faculty of Communication who run the radio station. If you see them, tell them thank you, because they're letting you listen to us. You've been listening to VOA Asia. With all that's going on in the world right now, we'd love to hear from you and your thoughts of what is happening. You can contact us via Facebook at VOA Asia. Also write to us at voaasia@voanews.com. Our thanks to Director Tracy Carter, Engineer Carl Starling, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden, and David Byrd on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Have a wonderful day.